Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. All right, I'm pleased that Jenny read the heading in the NIV, because it gives me something to start the talk about, because we usually know this passage as the parable of the sower, but it's really about different types of soil that the farmer might sow his seed on. The sower is God, fairly clear, and he sows the same seed everywhere. But this is about how people respond and how we should respond. And there are warnings here, and there's hopefully some encouragement as well. So I want to work through the various soils, and we can, and we need to, decide which type of soil we truly are. And we need to be honest with ourselves, because we can deceive ourselves, but we can't deceive God. And there are two groups in this parable that thought they were okay, but they weren't. There's no point in deceiving ourselves. It's dangerous. But first, why did Jesus use parables so much? Because there's one bit where it says he didn't speak to anyone in anything but parables. Now, we use the NIV, the 1984 version, here in church. But there's not, well, there are loads of English translations. There are actually dozens of the thing. One that I do like, because it's online, it's got lots of notes, is the Net Bible, NET, New English Translation, even though it's American. They give lots of comments and things that are helpful. And there's a comment against this passage here, and I'll read it out. The beauty of using the parable as a teaching device is that it draws the listener, us, into the story, elicits an evaluation, makes you think, and demands a response. I'll read that again. The beauty of using the parable as a teaching device is that it draws the listener into the story, elicits an evaluation, and demands a response. Goes on to say, they are an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Sometimes they have an unexpected turn. Sometimes they offend the hearer. When Jesus does other than just telling us to do X, Y, or Z, and uses parables, he gets us to imagine situations, scenarios, and so on. And we can see this in what's going on in our mind's eye. That's helpful to remember afterwards. Here we can imagine this farmer going out to sow seed and encountering various types of soil. Now, obviously, they did things a bit different in those days, different geographical situation. That's different today with tractors and stuff and lush fields, but it's still easy enough for us to imagine. But there's more to Jesus. Hang on to it. I don't want to get like Harry Kane after the, what was it? Where was I? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, Dave. That's really helpful. But there's more to just imagine, seeing in our mind's eye. Because Jesus' parables bring a response of some sort in everyone hearing them, including us. We didn't listen to verses 10 to 17 because they're not part of today's set reading. But those, there Jesus explains why he uses parables. Because parables are generally, not always, generally easy enough to understand, though we do need to think about them, think them through and apply them if we're open to what Jesus is saying. But they're also enough to put people off. If they're not open to what Jesus is saying, that's enough to put them off. His parables don't allow a neutral response. You either go with what he's saying or you don't. You either take on board what he's saying and act on it, or there's a no. Even if it's a case of, I'm not going to think that through, blow that, not going to look at that. Our response to his parables and his teaching generally show the true nature of our heart. They test our heart, and they do tell us, they do instruct us what to do if we're prepared to respond to Jesus. And I want to look through his parable. a bit of a waffle there for you, a bit of introduction for you. But I want to look at this parable together because there's this big question to us: what type of soil are we? And it's important, verse 9 in our NIV translation that Jenny read, has verse 9 as, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." The net just happens to say, "Those who have ears had better listen." That's not a suggestion from Jesus, that's a command. So, four different types of soil. The first one Jesus speaks about is a path. Wouldn't have tarmac on, but that'd be hard and stuff wouldn't grow in it. There weren't lush fields like we have around here. This was first century Palestine, or whatever you want to call the country at the time. And because you're doing it by hand, some seed, you're trying to use all the good soil. Some will go on the path. The paths around fields, across fields, that sort of thing. And before they have a chance to grow, these seeds are grabbed by birds, taken away. So who is like that? There are some people, this is assuming that people are actually being told the truth about the kingdom. Verse 19 says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom, not some distorted version, Jesus is assuming that people are hearing the truth. I put it in a reasonable way. So who's like that when people hear the truth? Some hear the good news of Jesus put well, put convincingly perhaps, but don't respond to it. They poo-poo it. They may say Christianity is just a crutch for weak people. Well, it is a crutch, and it's a trustworthy crutch. Or they might be angered at being told they need to be saved. They're sinners, even if that's put in a loving way. There's a lot of anger sometimes when people hear the good news, the gospel. So that one's bad news. Then there's the rocky soil that Jesus talks about. And this is a sad one. This is where a group of people respond and they receive the good news with joy. That's an emotional response, but not much else. The message doesn't bed in. That's superficial. Maybe they're trying to get Jesus to enter their kingdom, if you want to put it that way. Maybe they want a blesser rather than a saviour. They don't really understand what the kingdom of God is about. Maybe they're trying to get Jesus to fulfil their agenda. Maybe, to use some sort of 21st century terminology, they may see Jesus as a sort of service provider. Maybe they're disappointed with God. Maybe they want something else. The thing does not stick and they fall away. And this is one I think that we need to think most about, maybe as individuals, me, and as a church. The third one, thorns. The seed sprouts and grows, but doesn't produce much. The people here are not hard-hearted or shallow. They're nice people. But the thorns of the world make it hard to bear fruit. The people here are keen on Jesus, but maybe they're keen on Jesus and their desires. They say the right words, but has the gospel taken root properly? This is the group that makes me wonder most about me and us. Because the effect of living in our society can be insidious. It may creep up on us as individuals. Maybe we compare our performance as Christians, if we put it that way, with others in our congregation rather than what Scripture says. Maybe we don't notice what's going on. Maybe we're coasting along. Are we satisfied where we are as Christians? Maybe there's an area of our life that we're ignoring. We really should be thankful for the way God changes us, for the change that God has brought about in us. But we should never be satisfied with where we are as Christians. Then there is the good soil, the fourth type of soil. And that's surely the type of soil we want to be, don't we? This is a soil where someone hears the word, truly understands it, what it means for them and for others. And that naturally produces a crop. Jesus puts it as yielding 160 or 30 times what's sown. And this is a soil that produces loving, grateful obedience. This is where people let God do his thing. If this is an if, right? I'm not saying this is the case in your life. You're the one who would say if it is the case. If we honestly look at ourselves and see that we're in this third type of soil, soil where worries and wealth are choking us as followers of Jesus, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to be content with mediocrity? Are we going to be content to be Christians who, when people look at us, just think, well, what's all that about? Are we content to be an object of indifference? Are we content to be a Christian who, when a non-Christian looks at us and thinks, what would be the point of me becoming a follower of Jesus? Genuinely don't see the point of changing. That's the question. What about the good soil? What is the answer to being the good soil rather than the soil with thorns growing? Do we knuckle down and try harder? Well, that might help for a bit, but not long term. Question for us is, what truly drives those who truly bear fruit? It's not a secret. I was going to say, what's the secret? It's not a secret. People who truly bear fruit, one who help others become Christians, become followers of Jesus, or truly draw closer and closer to the Lord. What drives the heart of those Christians, of such Christians? What drives the heart of such Christians is their motivation, which comes from being smitten by the beauty of God. When we love him, not for what he can do for us, not for what we want him to do for us, but for his own sake, for who he is. Our desire should be for the God who's already done for us what we truly need, sending his son to live a perfect life and die for us on that cross 2,000 years ago and raising him to life. And that's when he broke the barrier that our sin put up between us and him. His death brought us life. And we should, even if we've been a Christian 46 years, like Alan Cossey, should still be astonished by his wonderful love for us. When we truly see who God is, we're going to be hooked by that love. It's going to get us by the throat. And we're going to long to please him in whatever way he sees fit. And it's only when we truly see God's love for us that our hearts will be transformed. And that's when our actions and attitudes and everything will be transformed as well. So the question to all of us, including Alan Cossey, is where are we today? Are we hooked by God's love? Surely we all want to be good soil, don't we? Let's have a moment of quiet. I won't rush this. Let's have a genuine bit of time to look deeply at our own hearts and ask God to show us again his love and set our hearts on fire with love for him, because that's what he wants from us and what he wants for us. So we'll have some quiet. And I'm asking just as much as anyone else.